I'm going to invite Marianna Boddy and Haley Cole to come up to the stage with me. Get your tissue ready. Haley, I'm going to start with you, and I think to understand the immovable part of your story, we have to know your story. So, Anne, would you just put up our verse, our theme verse, and I just want to read that as we go into this next, these next few moments. Do we have that? Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. So Haley, I just want you to start and just share your story, and then Marianne will have you share yours.
Okay. So April 26th last year, my three-year-old son, Holston, entered the forever arms of Jesus. I want to share a little of him and how he changed my life forever. His story began when my husband David and I began to try to get pregnant with him. And we knew that we wanted to have a home with focused on God, like a focus-centered God home. So once we found out that it was a boy, we started praying over him and praying that we use his life to glorify God and that his will be done in his life. And so, March 31st, 2013, Easter Sunday, Holston Cole entered the world. We knew at the moment he was born that he was going to be challenging and give us many obstacles to face because he was born with a cleft in his soft palate, and so he had to have surgery on that, and he also had to have surgery before he was two on his eyes because he had cross-eyed, and that was just a couple of the challenges. And not only that, but then we also had twins. In that time before he turned two, he was only 15 months old, and we had twins. So our life got a little hectic. So he was super strong. I remember him at 2 weeks old, every time we put him down for tummy time, you know, we're supposed to do tummy time. Every time we put him down for tummy time, he would kick himself over onto his back every time. So he never had tummy time because of that. And then when he was two, we built a fence to keep him inside. And he, by a couple weeks, he learned how to jump over that fence and climb out. So he was a constant challenge. He was constantly keeping us on our toes and focused. So then I'll fast forward to April, and that is when we celebrated his third birthday. March 31st, we celebrated it. And I have a picture of him with, like, cake on his face, if you want to put that one up. So that was him right at his third birthday. He devoured a cupcake. I think that's all he ate all day. And then so in April, I really felt, right, kind of what you just said, I felt this super heaviness laid on me, but I couldn't tell if it was from the enemy or if it was from God. And so I literally never spoke it to anybody. I just wrote in my journal and I prayed and I really sought the Lord for that because I really didn't know what it was. And so he really put the message in my heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, just trust me. Just trust my plan. Whatever you're about to walk through, it is going to be bad. But not only is it going to be bad, but it's going to be tragic. And it's going to end in death. And so I clung to that. I clung to really just trying to trust him. And so I brought up some of the verses that I wrote down. And there's like five or six. And some of them I paraphrased. So, but I want to go ahead and read them because I feel like they make a difference. So Acts 17:24-28, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them. For in him we live and move and have our being. We are his offsprings. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and results in eternal life. Mm-hmm. From that message, I put my full faith in him, and I reap his holiness and his righteousness. And then Romans 12:3, Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So with that, I thought, he has given me the faith to look to him for the answers. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. It's all from his spirit. So 2 Corinthians 15:54, which goes along with us, death has been swallowed up in victory. And all I could say was just thank you, Jesus, for that. 2 Corinthians 4:18, for we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So I really began to really focus on my eyes on eternity, not just
this
what,
was before.
This was in the month of April. This was like 3 weeks leading up is when I was really soaking into his word and prepping myself for whatever was about to take place. Yeah. So, and then I have two more. So Ephesians 6:10 through 18, and it was actually the week here when you spoke on the full armor of God, and I really felt, okay, I'm going to have to armor up. Mm-hmm. And so I really meant to stand firm against the enemy and really dig deeper. And then Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. He gave me faith, and I must trust that. And so he is faithful. So the last night that Holston was here on earth, we had a family night, and we have a moonwalk, one of those big bounce houses. So we jumped on that and played as a family, and we ate pizza together, and it was super peaceful, just quiet and calm. And that night, I had the privilege of putting Holston to bed, as it was usually Daddy's job, because we literally had to hold him to put him to sleep, because otherwise it was just a constant battle, and it wasn't worth fighting the battle, so we just held him in the chair and rocked him. But so that night, I got to hold him, and I prayed with him, and we sang Jesus Loves Me, and I just remember squeezing him so tight and kissing his head, and he fell asleep in my arms. So that was super sweet. And then the next morning, he rose super early, but he would get up and bang on his door to come get him, because we had child locks on the inside to keep him inside. And so he would bang on the door. Yeah, he would bang on the door, but then if we didn't come, he would start running at the door, like a football player, like tackling the door. And so that was his sign. Okay, I'm up, Mom. So I would go get him. And we went downstairs. I poured my coffee. We sat. He snuggled up to me, and I turned on cartoons for him. And he was just adamant that morning about, I want to color your Bible, Mommy. I want to color in your Bible. And so I gave him my journal and in a highlighter, and he just scribbled away on a couple pages. So that was really sweet. And as we were sitting there, I also I read to him Zephaniah 3:17. And so I can put that one up, Anne. And so this is what I highlighted that day, and I read it to him. So the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. And so I just remember reading that to him, but I didn't know that that was going to be the very last scripture I read to him. So then that morning, not long after that, it was about an hour later, Daddy and one of the girls came down the stairs, and they came and played with Holston and talked to him and kissed him. And I got up and started making breakfast. At that point, Paisley was the one that was still asleep, so she had woken up, and so I told David, could you please go get her? He was about to walk out the door for work, and I said, could you please go get her? And he said, sure. And so he set his backpack on the kitchen counter, and he ran up the stairs. And at that moment, he went up. That's when I was flipping eggs in the kitchen, and he was pulling Paisley out of her crib, and talking to her and telling her good morning, and we heard this muffled pop come from the living room. And during that, I felt the Holy Spirit peace poured into me. I just felt this overwhelming peace, like I was placed in a bubble. And I ran into the living room where I heard it from, and I caught Holston at the time, and he said, ouch. And David ran down the stairs with Paisley, and we realized that he shot himself in the chest. And so at that moment, he lost complete consciousness. And we sat there with the family, and I knew that he wasn't coming back, that he was already gone. He was already, that peace that I had was already the presence of Jesus. He was there in the room, and there was no doubt about it. And so with all of us there in the room, he went in to be with Jesus.
Haley, tell them what you had told me when I went to you that morning. You said that something about you saw him take his first breath.
Mm-hmm.
You were there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just watched him, like, take his last breath and literally, like, go with Jesus. Like, there was no doubt. So, yeah.
Marianne.
You share, tell us about Luke.
I will. Is this not a warrior mama right here?
Whoa.
My story. You know, have you ever just had that moment where you draw that imaginary line on a calendar? Life was this way on this day, and then something happened, and life is never the same. So my day was February 13th. It was a normal day. I got up. I made coffee. My other boys were in college, so I always enjoyed having the baby of the family to take care of, you know, the last one to drive to school. It was special. I have a disabled daughter who lives at home as well, and she was there. So my son's name was Luke. We got in the car. I drove him to weight training because he was a football player at Harrison High School. And the only difference of that morning was that there was a dusting of snow, and that would prove to be a special gift, you know, something to connect with your 15-year-old, because it doesn't snow that much here in Georgia. So to have a dusting of snow, it's like, wow. So we got to school, and we had our little ritual. He would kiss my right cheek and my left cheek, and I'd say a little prayer over him, and he'd get out of the car, and he'd go, "I love you, Mom," and he'd say, "Swear you'll be safe. Swear you'll come home safe." It was such an ironic statement that he would make, because the irony of it is that boy, that precious, beautiful boy, never walked through the door of our home again. So he went off into school, and I have a picture, I think. He was a football player. So he played football, and he loved lacrosse, and after school he had lacrosse practice, and, you know, because it had rained and it had snowed, when they got back, they were all filthy dirty, and he wanted to take a shower, and the arranged ride that we had for him, she had to leave because she had a test to study for. So, you know, for whatever reason, you know, a young person, he accepted a ride. He knew he should have called me. But, you know, we've all done that. We've taken rides when we were kids. You know, we're just getting home. I live 5 minutes from Harrison. And he accepted a ride with another player that he did not know very well. And so they went and they got Gatorades at that Minute Saver, you know, on Due West Road. And this young man just, in a foolish choice of a 16-year-old with a high-performance vehicle, went down Midway and then turned onto Trail. Probably many of you know that road. And then onto Crew Lane. And Luke had asked him to stop, so that was a little difficult to hear. And this young man went in excess of 77 miles per hour on this very, it's like a driveway. And it's a little road built into Lost Mountain, into the mountain. So he lost control. There were 70-foot drop-offs. And the way that the car flipped, the right rear passenger absorbed all of the impact of that accident. So he was airlifted to Atlanta Medical Center. So basically, the day that began with just a dusting of snow ended in the intensive care unit of Atlanta Medical Center. So he was on a life support, and then on February 14th, he was declared brain dead. And, you know, we had to make that gut-wrenching decision, you know, to take him off life support. And we decided, as hard as it was, and I will be honest, it's really hard to think about other people when you're in the middle of your own pain to donate his organs. He was an athlete, and he was strong, and he was healthy. I was grateful that he had been a healthy child. So we made that decision to donate his organs, and that would prove to be part of the healing in time. So he's taken off life support, and Luke was buried on February 18th, one day shy of his 16th birthday. I just remember being in the cemetery thinking, a week ago I was worried of how would I make this birthday special, because he wasn't getting a car. He thought he was, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? And here I am a week later, and we're letting off balloons in a cemetery. You know, that was just hard, you know. It was just hard. So.
Okay, so we've heard the heartache. Haley, tell us this whole word immovable. Like, I can't even, again, my heart, particularly Marianne, I just don't know. This word immovable, there obviously was a grace that God gave you. Would you just tell our moms in the moment, Marianne, you got the call, Haley, you heard, what did God do? You're breathing, you're able to be here today, which every mom out here, this is our worst. This is the fear, right? This is the fear that we're exposing today. This is the fear. Something tragic happening to one of our children. This is it. We're exposing it. But we're not going to stay there. We're going to let God expose the hope. So, Haley, in the moment of the utmost heartache, tell us how God, through people, through whatever, made you immovable.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that I feel like is a little unique about my story is that he was able to give me that peace. And really, yeah, he was 2 years old in that picture. And he was really, I really had that peace that he was with Jesus. And that if I didn't have that number one committed relationship with Jesus and really focus my time in scripture and really dig into his word, then I don't know where I would be. I mean, I really don't understand, or I can't comprehend on where I would be in life if I didn't have Jesus in and he wasn't my number one focus. So that's the first thing I would say. And then number two is definitely seeing the hands and the feet of Jesus, the community, because we had such an overwhelming outpour of support between friends and family and then strangers. And just, we had so many letters come in on us. And it was just literally, I remember telling you, it was like we were lifted up and just carried for weeks. And our feet never hit the floor, like you said. It was just like we were in this constant bubble of protection, and there was no other way to look at it. So
you, people say this all the time, like, I can't imagine going through this without Jesus. So, moms, may that be a takeaway for you, that if God ever asked you to drink this cup, Haley is saying that her relationship with Jesus, like, mm-hmm. that is the foundation. Like, we see moms that go through this without Jesus, and their story probably looks a lot different. So being grounded mm-hmm. in the anchor of Christ, God had, he foreknew. Yeah. And so that preparation, that constant feasting on Jesus, as we talk about here, mm-hmm. was a immovable yeah. moment for you, mm-hmm. made you immovable in that moment.
Yeah, and being plugged into community, because if I yeah. wasn't plugged into here, yeah. and if I wasn't plugged into our church, and then nobody could have, you know, we could have just been another news story. So I really feel like because we knew people and because we were plugged in, that it really helped us.
That was on
time.
A Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. Marianne, who was here that Thursday we prayed for Haley? Do y'all remember that? Marianne actually was here. Her and Julie, who has also had tragedy, they came, and Julie prayed specifically for you on that Thursday. Mm-hmm. Marianne, what about you? What would you say?
Well, I too knew that Luke had received Jesus, so I knew that he was in heaven, which I found some peace in that, of course. But I was like, I'm here. and my heart is broken. I'm a highly emotional person. I just a tender spirit. And I guess what I would say is the journey was messy and hard. But what I found is that God is the most tender soul there ever is. He will meet you right where you are. And what I mean by that is I struggled. I will be so honest. Mm-hmm. I had paralyzing fear. I had boys that were in college. I had to let them drive. I worried. I drove with my son to weight training the entire summer. He was a college football player. He was 21. I'm like driving with my son. And I knew that was like so unhealthy. I fought incredible. I'm too old not to tell the truth here.
Amen.
I fought wanting to self-medicate because I had never been in so much emotional pain in my life. And I lost the battle sometimes. And one particular day, my son John came to me to see if I was okay. And I said, yeah, I'm good. He's like, no, Mom, you're not okay. We're not okay. We lost Luke. We all lost Luke. But I don't want to lose my mom, too. And those were some of the most penetrating words I have ever. They saved my life. They make me cry today. But you know what? The Lord knew what would get my attention because he knew my heart language as a mama. And he knows your heart language, and he will meet you right where you are in the journey. And it wasn't that all of a sudden I was okay, but I had postured my heart a little bit because I was sad and mad. I prayed for my children to be saved. And I found myself, okay, God, I will turn my heart towards you. And he said, I felt it deep in my spirit. You can do this on your own and you're going to make a mess of things. It was not even spoken with condemnation. It was just the truth. And basically he said, but I can do this through you. We together can make tragedy not have the last say of your family and of your life. And so I dug. I mean, you can see I'm the queen of the note card. I wrote scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. I carried it like Linus carried his little security blanket. I had them on the bathroom counter. I had them in the car. I had them everywhere. And you know, God never, you know, if we read the book, some days I'm like, Marianne, you've read the book. The book never promised we wouldn't have trouble. But God promised his presence. And I, the scripture I wanted to share, it's on one of these note cards of many, is Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And basically, perfect peace means divine health, prosperity, wellness of being, soundness of mind. Stayed or fixed means braced, lodged in an immovable position. You see, I wasn't immovable. I was falling completely apart, but the foundation under me was immovable. And that was Jesus. And God carried me with kindness and tenderness, and he met me right where I was. And I'm grateful to that.
I love that. Haley, talk a little bit about that too. Like Marianne, I love the rawness. Like God doesn't say, here's this cup of suffering and now you drink it and be happy with it. Like we tell our kids, like, yeah, be happy with that.
Right.
Too bad, you know, happy heart, obey first time, you
right.
know. So when God does call us to drink this cup of suffering, which we talked about that if you were here a few weeks ago, we've already been told it's going to be work, it's going to be toil, there's going to be tragedy, there's going to be, I love what you're saying. Like God didn't say, well, Marianne, you're not having faith. You're not believing it. You're not being immovable. You knew you were not. You were without plugging yourself to the vine.
Yes.
You were this.
Yeah.
But the foundation under you is immovable. So you knew how to fight. Haley, how have you learned how to fight your days? Because again, I will say, because we have walked this out as a Moms with Source community with this one particularly. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody would say, like I say it to people, like, she's okay. Like you just would not believe how amazingly okay she is. But I know you have days.
Yeah.
I know that you have days. How because what Marian said, that immovable foundation, like how do you fight? How do you fight?
Yeah. Well, I definitely have, I feel like for me, my truth in it is that like I try to pour into the twin girls. And now we have another baby, if y'all don't know, but a little 3-month-old little boy. But so I really feel like I kind of, like she said, like I just surrounded them and I was just really trying to hold on tight and not think about it sometimes, and or social media. That was my kind of outlet. I'll just sit here for 2 hours on Facebook for, you know, to not think about what I have to walk through and to heal myself. So I feel like once I acknowledge that and brought that out, and I'm off social media right now because of it, because mm-hmm. I know that I can easily not focus on what I need to be focused on. And so I, once I pulled that away and a couple of times, I really think that that helped me plug into scripture and really get deeper into my prayer life at that moment. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like he definitely prepped me, and I've never lost peace over it. Like, I know that was his purpose, and his purpose was to bring people to Jesus and to glorify his name, and our prayer was answered. So yeah. I can't deny it, yeah. You know?
Yeah. So what would you say, Marian, is the hope? Like tell us a little bit, what were some of the hope just in that, because I've seen the movie, and she did say the movie's pretty accurate, just not sequentially accurate. But like, I remember, I mean, Mike, we were just watching it a couple months ago. Like, I remember you in the movie, the Andy McDowell walking through the hospital, mm-hmm. and the lines of people. Like, what is some hope from Luke, from the track? Like, what was some hope that you would?
What I would say is that God is committed to our restoration and the redemption of our story. He really is. We just have to be willing to not be the one that writes the picture. And so, you know, the movie is definitely, you know, that was like, what? You know, this whole thing of how the movie came about was very God ordained. You know, at Luke's funeral, you know, many of you may, you know, Harrison would hold up 5 fingers in honor of Luke and call it the 5th quarter. So my son, John, wanted to do that at Wake Forest. So we would do it privately, just us. And just, they did an article on him, and basically the story grew and grew and grew. And he also had done a special on ESPN and talked about organ donation, because organ donation was part, I think, of the redemption of Luke's story. 6 of his organs were able to retrieve 6 of his organs, and 5 recipients received life. And one of them was a young mom, a 19-year-old who had a heart condition, and we met her. And to get to put your hand on the chest of somebody who has your baby's heart beating inside of them, that, there's no words for that. You know, that is some of the nuggets of things. This is not the story I would have written, but I'm grateful for what God is doing through it. And I get letters from people whose kids have driven like crazy people, and they go, wow, when I see the consequences of teenage driving, you know, they commit to drive differently. And so I would say that was part of the hope. And the last would probably be, sometimes God asks you to be part of a bigger story. All of our stories are bigger than we are. And, you know, in our case, there was a young driver that had made a really bad choice. And as a mom, I struggled because I was mad. You know, it wasn't just a true accident. He made a choice. But there was a mama part of my heart that knew, you know, kids do dumb things. And I didn't want to be mad, but I was. So a couple of years into the journey with a counselor, the counselor said, you know, this is understandable, but it's not acceptable, because I could feel the ickiness of holding this inside. This had the power to destroy me as a human being. So I prayed in faith to forgive him. And what I want to say to you is my feelings did not follow. I had to go back to this and go back to it. See, forgiveness is a process. It's an event of faith, but it's a process. And I continued to pray, and I thought of him less and less. And 5 years into the journey, I happened to be meeting a friend, and I went to a Starbucks drive-through on Barrett Parkway and pulled up to, you know, pay for my drink, and there he was. Hadn't seen him, you know, didn't know him until, he didn't know him at all. And so he didn't recognize me. I had sunglasses and had changed my hair, and I debated for a minute, you know, I could pay and leave. And I thought, So I pulled my glasses up and I said, you know, do you know who I am? You know, I'm not going to repeat his name just because I want to protect him. And he kind of looked like, oh my gosh, the mama bear's going to come out and kill me. So I just felt this, I know it's not me, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I felt a deep peace in my heart. And I turned to him and I said, you know, you were spared from this accident, and I really hope that you will do something with your life. And so I paid for my drink. I asked how his mom was and sister, and I left. And I can tell you the weight of that, I had no weight. I did not hate him. And, you know, I've reflected on that moment a lot because, see, he didn't remember, he didn't know who I was. And what I want to say to you is I think the Lord gave me a choice because he loved my heart too much. If I wasn't ready, that I didn't have to do this, he would love me anyway. Or he was inviting me into something way bigger than me. And I think that was a day that the will of heaven met earth. And I just am grateful that I had done the fighting to be able to do that. And I mean that with all sincerity. Now, 11 years ago, I would not have said that. So.
And Haley, you've shared with me some stories of the hope that's come from even with you and David and sharing it, but you've struggled. There's been struggles for you and your marriage and stuff internally. Share with us just some hope, just some ways God has, because it's been a year and a half, right? So where Marianne is, how many years out? 11, but still, But yours, it's a little probably rawer, like you're still walking through. I know Marianne, there was lots of internal family struggles. Like, share some hope, where you see just shoots of hope. Like, I think about that song, The Garden by Carrie Job. You know, I can finally see the ivy growing through the walls. Like, where is God's hope being sprinkled in this story?
Well, there's a lot, I feel like. I mean, our marriage has definitely taken a shot at, it's hard to walk through that after walking through a child loss and then easily trying to shift the blame. You know, it wasn't either one of our faults. And I knew that. And I told him, we had sat there that day at the hospital and said, I do not blame you. And he said the same thing. I don't blame you. It wasn't our fault. It was God's day to take him. Our days are numbered. So that's what I go back to, is that just going back to scripture and just realizing that our days are numbered and it was his time to go. And so I really feel like just seeing my children and my other children and knowing that now I have the choice to raise them into this home too, but if God takes them, then that's their day. You know, I just feel like there's a lot of hope going on all throughout our marriage and life. So,
and you're sharing, like, I think, you know, that scripture in Revelations that talks about they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I just think even today, you, for your own races, you're doing something, but in the races of those that are hearing your story, you are helping us to overcome, like really helping us to overcome some of our fears. And speak to that, like, if there's a mom out here listening that is gripped with fear, like they're sitting there saying, okay, God, that's them, but don't ever ask that of me. God, that's them, don't ever ask that of me. Like this fear. What would you say, And Haley, I think you said it so great, and I think that's the Bible, right? Like, our days are numbered. Like, I remember asking my mother-in-law, how did you survive, like, them driving and going to college? And she said, Joy, I just had this peace that if I got the call, if something happened, that was the day God purposed for them, and there was nothing I could have done. So that's given me peace, like, especially now as I'm seeing Sydney drive off at 6:30 in the morning. Bye. I can't make her not drive. I could, but I think I would. That's not what God's called us. We have to let them go when they're learning, even learning to walk. Like I say that all the time. Like, you mamas that are nursing, do not come up to me and say, "Oh, I've been up all night." At least they are attached to you, okay? At least they are attached as mine is driving off. But I just, there's this fear. You know, I just, what would you speak to that fear that we all? I mean, come on, let's get real. We get real at Moms of Swords. Is this our biggest fear or what? This is our biggest fear. How would you speak to that fear in a mom?
Well, I would say that, like, the number one thing that I feel like I've already talked about is really that you know Jesus and that you speak Jesus into your children. Because if you don't, then they may not know them. But if you have this foundation and you lay it now, especially for the moms that have little babies, and you really speak Jesus into them, then you have hope that you will see them, that one day you will see them again and you'll be reunited in the forever home of heaven with them in eternity. So,
Marianne, what would you?
Well, I would say I understand what you're saying, because these kinds of things put you face to face with this whole issue of control. We are in control of blessed little. We think we are, but we really are. And that can be freeing and terrifying at the same time. I think what I would say is that right now, of course you're fearful of this because you don't have the grace to walk through it. You know, grace is given to us when we go through what we go through. I could look at other things that other people and go, oh, I can't do that. Of course I can't, because Jesus hasn't given me the grace today to go through that. So that would be what I would say, is that I promise you, as much as I know my name is Marianna Boddy, that when you go through something, the grace will be available to you. And you have to be willing, though, to pick it up and take it and allow Jesus to wrap you in grace and carry you.
I just want to read 1 Corinthians 15:55 again. God, knowing that today would happen, I didn't know today would happen when he picked this verse, but this, y'all, is just a few scriptures before our theme verse. And this is my new favorite translation of the Bible, called The Voice. It's my new favorite. And it says this: "Hey, death, what happened to your big win? Hey, death, what happened to your sting?" I think we've seen today that there has been big wins, even in death. Is there a big win that you guys can, that you haven't spoken, that you would want to leave? A big win that, you know, death didn't have the final say in your lives?
Well, I would say that him being faithful and really giving us the grace and the mercy that, you know, was undeserving of us, but he gave us another son. For our story, like us having this little baby, and we named him Titus, which is honorable and pleasing to the Lord. So I just feel like that little baby and having a second chance, that's really what my husband and I have talked about. Like, he gave us a second chance at another little boy. It's not the same. We can't compare it to Holston. We know he has his own little identity, but because of that, like, we have that hope in him that he is faithful and he provides what we need, and we know he knows what our hearts need. So,
you know, and you said yes to life, and that was important, and you were willing to have this baby.
Yeah.
I just had to say that. I'm sorry.
Girl, preach. Anyway. This is free.
I would say, girls, you know what? We know how the story ends. Mm. I hold on to that. You know, I love to write, so I love stories. And so we may not know the in-between chapters, but God was kind enough, we know how this ends. And I love Revelation 21:4. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed. And it says, I'm making all things new. And it's told to write these words because they are faithful and true. Yes. Yes. There's our hope. Amen. Amen. So,
oh, I love that. Man, is there anything else that y'all would want to say or any more on those note cards, Marianne, that you need that you need to tell us? They're going to be in the back. I'm going to have them during prayer time. Good. Just a little prayer. If you want to go and pray with these moms. Man, what a morning. What a story that God has written with both of your lives. And thank you both for being willing to share it. And thank you for sitting before us a true example of immovability. I mean, immovability right here. Like, it's in my season, this is huge for me, and it just the grace will be applied if it's needed. It will be applied because you two are walking out in that grace. I just want to end this time with Isaiah 61, and of course this was speaking of Jesus, but we've talked a lot about Rhema words in here, and I just believe this is a Rhema word, because my hope this morning was, because we had some moms saying, I don't know if I want to go, I don't know if it's going to be so, you know what, y'all, we're not going to rest in the heaviness of this and the heartache of this. We're going to rest in the hope. This is the hope right here. Immovability, even in death. These women, moms, are the hope that we praise God for, those that have gone before us, you know, gone before us. Here's who we got. When it happened with Haley, Julie and Marianne were who she went to because they've walked it. Praise God for those that are racy. Their races are different. This is why we need a community like Haley talked about. This is why Moms with Swords, I think, is so vital in the kingdom. Because I need Dana, who's had a driver. I need to talk to Dana and say, well, how did you do this? You need that mom that has been through the toddler stage of everything is mine and slapping everybody and biting. You need that. You need to know, how did you get through this? And right here is the ultimate. Even if this is asked, our God, with Him as our foundation, our God will carry us even through this, because death did not have the big win in these lives. It did not. So may this be true of us. The Spirit of the Lord, the eternal, is on me. The Lord has appointed me for a special purpose. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to repair broken hearts and to declare those who are held captive and bound in prison, be free from your imprisonment. He has sent me to announce the year of Jubilee, the season of the eternal's favor. For our enemies, it will be a day of God's wrath. For those who mourn, it will be a time of comfort. As for those who grieve over Zion, God has sent me to give them a beautiful crown in exchange for ashes, to anoint them with gladness instead of sorrow, to wrap them in victory, joy, and praise instead of depression and sadness. People will call them magnificent, like great towering trees standing for what is right. They stand to the glory of the eternal who planted them. This is your God who goes with you through every season of mothering. This is your God. This is His purposes for you. He wants to make you a towering tree standing for what is right to bring glory to your Father. Marianne and Haley are towering trees. Brittany Price Brooker, a towering tree of God's goodness, that even if the worst thing happens, God, His goodness and His character has not changed. Let's pray. Marianne and Haley, would y'all just, prayer team, go to the back. And moms, if you want to go back and talk with Marianne or Haley, they'll be back there. But Let's just allow a few minutes for the Holy Spirit before you go to your prayer groups. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work. And maybe this has been hard for you this morning. I know it's been hard for some of you. But I pray that you take the hope away. The hope that is Jesus. That is the Isaiah 61. That he has come to bind up, to heal, and to make beauty for good. So let's pray as Ann puts on the music, and then we'll just sit in this posture for a little bit. And if you want to go back and talk with Marianne or Haley, or if you want to go pray, if you're gripped with fear, man, I really want to talk. I want to speak to you. If you are gripped with fear this morning, because I feel in my spirit there are some moms that are gripped with fear this morning. I want to ask you to be brave and to be courageous and to release it and to go tell one of these prayer leaders. God will not heal what you do not reveal. God will not heal. He cannot heal it if you don't reveal it. He knows it, but you got to be willing to show it. You got to be willing to speak it out. He wants to heal it, but you got to acknowledge that it's there. Let God reveal it so that he can heal it. So if you this morning are struggling with this fear, would you just be so brave and courageous as to go tell somebody, even if it's not one of the prayer leaders, but even if it's your neighbor? Let's not let the enemy have the final say this morning. Fear, worry, anxiousness, it does not have the final say. God has the final say, and through him we are immovable. So as I pray, if that's you, I want you to go. I want you to go. I want you to just begin to pray and just to trust God with the outcome. To trust God with the outcome and to trust God with our kids. God, we say that this morning in faith. We trust you with our kids. I say that in faith. I just want you right now, Mom, I want you to call forth every one of your children, either out loud or under your breath, and I want you to say, God, I trust you with, let's all do that, God, I trust you with Sydney and Sophie Kate and John William. Say it again, God, I trust you with Sydney, Sophie Kate, and John William. God, even if we don't feel that faith, God, I pray that because our lips have declared it, we say and our heart will follow, as Marianne showed us today. God, may our lips even precede what our heart knows. We trust you. God, I trust you. I say I trust you. Because I know your goodness is not determined by what happens in my life. So God, we say today we trust you with our kids. We trust you with the days that are to come. And we thank you, God, that as that scripture in Psalm says, we can laugh. We can look at the days to come with no fear because our feet are firmly planted in Jesus. That is our hope. We can laugh. We can look at the days ahead with no fear because our feet are firmly planted in Jesus. So we say that today, God. That scripture in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 31. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs at the future. God, we can say that, and we can say we trust you with our kids because our feet are planted in you, God. And today, if our feet, if one of us listening today, our feet are planted in things other than you, God, I pray that you would replant them. God, would you take us off of the foundations that will shift and sink and put us in the foundation of Jesus, the only immovable one. Without you, God, we will sink. Without you, God, we will crumble. Without you, we will self-medicate and we will look to other ways to help us cope. But God, with you as our foundation, you will not allow us to fall. So Jesus, today, would you reposition our feet in the hope of who you are? in the hope of Jesus. Holy Spirit, do your work in the next few moments, and may we not leave this room with a heaviness given to us by the enemy. But may we leave with a heaviness of your glory that says, I trust you, Jesus. And because of you, I am immovable. In Jesus' name, amen.